You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam.
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
If you've been with us for many years here, you have followed the path of how Carl Douglas became the show's attorney, settling disputes and legal matters. If you do not know or are not familiar with Carl Douglas, because you're now new to the program and we're a different thing in podcast form only, Carl Douglas was the star of the documentary that won ESPN many, many awards. He was an O.J. Simpson attorney, and he was the best quote in the entire thing. He really stood out. That's how we discovered him. And then he liked our show, and we loved him as a content machine. But also on top of that, even though he can do the cartoon entertainment delivery of show business from the West Coast, Carl Douglas is a man with decades of civil rights work on the right side of justice as we arrive here at a place that really we just saw with Black Lives Matter over the summer. Like, we were escalating to here. And Carl, I wanted to have you on to talk specifically about how a black man viewed yesterday, when we all know how it would have gone on video, Carl, if those were Black Lives Matter protesters climbing those steps. There would have been black bodies dead all over the floor. America's history and your history in criminal law have shown that again and again. As a black person, you're watching that, and what? Because when we talk to you, Carl, so often you're matter of fact about these things. It's almost like you're numb or immune to the history of racism in this country. But even you had to be shocked and appalled that it was that stark yesterday, that black people can't do anything that looks like that, and white people are being helped in by the state militia.
Yeah, you know, and it really was telling that while there were protests among the NBA players, they all played because it didn't touch them in the exact same way. Dan, I have been on the call on phones and texting my colleagues, my African-American colleagues and my Anglo allies, and a couple of things come to bear. First, like you say, clearly, the differences in the official law enforcement reaction is stunning. When there was a Black Lives Matter protest there on the mall, they had National Guards defending the Lincoln Memorial like black folks were gonna go up those steps and do damage to the Lincoln Memorial. I was really affected when I saw the people banging on the windows of the Capitol, that desecration of the Capitol building. And I'm a armchair revolutionary, so I did not think I was going to have that visceral disgust of the desecration of the Capitol building, the symbol of democracy. It was a similar sight when I thought about that guy in the Carolinas that went into a church and shot 9 people. The desecration of a church was, in my mind, similar to the desecration of the Capitol building. And then there was the universal almost response of my African-American colleagues that we don't see any Negroes there, so we good. Because regrettably, whenever there is a black person that is involved in something of national import, we black people take it personally because we know the recriminations and all of the narrative is going to turn toward black people walking the streets of urban America. So on many levels, we were watching these animals desecrate, and we were doing it from the helicopter view, which was refreshing because we could have our indignation and not be fearful that this administration would turn this narrative against us as Black Americans. Coming as it does on the historic change in the Senate, with Georgia electing the first Black senator and the first Jewish senator, really gives Black America and all fair-thinking Americans, man, not just Black folks, an opportunity to stick our finger in the eyes of this past administration and say, take that.
Except we're on the brink of a civil war, it feels like, because of it, though, Carl. It feels like...
Bruh, I'm sorry. I have been a lawyer for 40 years, man. We survived dumbass George Bush. We can survive George. We should survive Donald Trump. I have a greater belief in the strength of American democracy. So I don't think we are on the brink. I don't want to think that we are on the brink of anarchy. I want to think that our democracy is so strong that it can survive even this chapter, as sordid as it is. And hopefully this is a wake-up call, because there are casualties in every war. And for us to destroy the legacy of Donald Trump's presidency, it's going to take something as greatly disturbing as this for America to knock him down. So I don't think it's the end of democracy, bro, personally.
Carl, but you're sitting here using words like hopefully, and I'm looking at you and I'm wondering, what the hell do you have to be hopeful about? Like, black people, I'd even understand what happened yesterday. If it was black people doing that to the state capitol, given to what this country has done to them, I would understand it more than what I was watching yesterday, which is aggrieved white people who aren't being choked out in the street to death to start all this nonsense, are rushing the place and being let in by the police. Like, what the hell do you have to be hopeful about?
Because otherwise I would not be able to get out of the bed this morning, Dan. I have to be hopeful for a brighter tomorrow. There is fundamental change, because while the vote should not have taken that long and it should not have been that close, Joseph Biden, Uncle Joe, is the president. While it should not have been that close, there is hopefulness, at least from my perspective, in a 50-50 Senate. Though there's all kinds of problems, there is an African-American woman who is now second most powerful person in the world. That gives me hope, bruh, because I gotta have hope as a black person living in this America. After surviving and enduring 4 years of Donald Trump, I am hopeful that there will be a brighter day for tomorrow. Because that's the only thing, when in the face of this pandemic, in the face of all of the negativity that is surrounding this country, in the face of the divisions that are still there, I have to be hopeful so you can drag somebody to greatness. I always say, sometimes leaders have to drag a motherfucker into greatness. Come on, let's be great, because they don't know how to do it themselves.
Carl, help me with something, because a couple of answers ago, you articulated differently, and you're old enough and have been around history and know enough about the civil rights movement to know that you were saying something similar to what Malcolm X said after JFK was shot and chickens coming home to roost, and him saying, that's not my problem. I've got my own set of black afflictions. The way you treat us is the reason that ended up on your lawn, is what he was saying. It sounded like you were articulating the same thing, that what happened yesterday is, of course, the Frankenstein monster can no longer be controlled.
It is so interesting because Malcolm X is one of my political heroes, and that the chickens are coming home to roost is the phrase that elicited condemnation in 1963 when it was uttered. But here it is ever more relevant and insightful, because while we can be stunned, while we can be disgusted, we can't be surprised, man. This has been fomenting for 4 years. The man told you what was gonna happen even before the election. He told you he was never going to accept the result of the election if he lost. So is there really any shock that this has been the eruption that has been percolating under the surface for so many months? But I am still ever hopeful, Dan. You're not going to discourage me, man.
Well,
I'm sorry. I just got married, man. Right. I'm a newlywed during the pandemic. Absolutely. So I am hopeful for a brighter day.
All right.
65 years old on a honeymoon, bro. You can't, during the pandemic, you can't ask for a better life than that. So I'm going to be hopeful.
That a boy, Carl. I mean, you're trying to strip this man of his hope. I mean, what are you doing?
No, what I'm trying to do is talk to an attorney about facts, and he's coming at me making arguments about an emotion, because what I don't see what it is that you're seeing there when I see that this is the beginning of what feels like a civil war when we can't agree on any of the facts, Carl. When the facts are no longer the facts, this is not an 70 million people might not have an interest in seeing this fomentation continue, but enough of them do that it stains all of the 70 million, and then it makes it feel like this is a civil war, Carl, that we're in the middle of a civil war, that even when Biden becomes president, there are going to be domestic terrorist attacks, because look at these guys armed to the gills and being enabled by a state militia to do things that allow people to attack the state capitol with nobody getting arrested.
And I am hopeful for a brighter day. I am hopeful that on January 21, the narrative will begin to change. I am hopeful that this disgusting display and this attack on democracy is going to change some of those people wearing red hats. There are going to be folks wearing the red hats that will never change. And there will be some on the fringes that will. And there will be Uncle Joe is going to lower the narrative. And there's going to be people in America making decisions that are more humane. And hopefully there'll be a vaccine that will be used so that people will be less afraid and afraid to go out of their house and to gather and to revive that humanity. This is all, I say, a perfect storm of our circumstance. And there can be naysayers. Dan, I get it. Everything you say makes sense, but I reject it. And I'm going to be hopeful, and I'm going to continue on platforms such as these to hope for a better America, man. I live in L.A. We got the Clippers. The Clippers have been, they've been selling hope for 30 some odd years, man. And so I'm going to pick up the mantle of hopelessness. I could be Debbie Downer.
Oh, but now he's got the Lakers, though. He's got the Lakers, too. He's been taunting us.
Well,
Carl,
hey,
like, that's some bullshit.
Course.
Yeah, that's a, you're
a
front runner.
I could be Debbie Downer, but I'm choosing not to adopt that narrative, Dan. I'm choosing not to, consciously, because I want to be hopeful for America. I ain't going nowhere, man. The country ain't going nowhere. Biden is going to be our president. You got to be supportive and hope for the best. I would have preferred somebody more progressive. I don't want Merrick Garland as my AG, but that's okay. One step at a time. You got to drag a motherfucker into greatness. Come on, let's be great. You don't know how to do it, so let's go. I'll show you the way.
But Carl, aren't you tired of being hopeful? Are you tired of it?
Yeah, you ain't black, Stu. Easy for you to say. Yeah, I'm tired of this
stuff.
Well,
that's why I'm asking you.
No, but come on, man. But I'm not gonna just throw down my law degree and give up. Come on, man. Respectfully. And I can talk. We're in a podcast. That's white privilege. Roy will tell you I can't give up because the white man says I can't do it. Doesn't want me there. I would not have been able to accomplish anything that I've ever accomplished were I to have that attitude in the face of all of the negativity. 4 years of Donald Trump. Every day, that man telling me I was not worthy as the man with the Proud Boys banner. Come on. But I have to persevere because this is my country, too.
What did you do with the Georgia result? Encouraged by that, I would imagine. Yes, even though
I smoked a big blunt. That's what I did. I partied, man. A big one. I used the longer blunts. It was party nice. Time. Right. And we're here in California, so I was up all night watching everything. Okay? I'm a political animal. Everybody knows I watch CNN and the Food Network and ESPN. Those are my three go-tos.
Well, now you've left us behind because we've left ESPN, and now Carl's like, I don't get you guys anymore. I don't know. I miss you guys. And we're like, well, we're right over here. We said the big goodbye and everything, but we're right over here. And Carl's like, yeah, I can't listen to you that way anymore.
That's okay. No, so I am hopeful for America. That is going to be my pitch as a 65-year-old black man. And every black man over 60 has racial reasons to be not so happy. We all have, every black man over 60 has felt the recriminations of racism. But I choose to be hopeful. You are my brothers because that's the only way we in this country are ever going to survive. I could adopt Debbie Downer, clearly. There are reasons why. As a lawyer, I've been trained to look at both sides of the issue. I could defend OJ and prosecute his ass as well. And I might have won. So
I've often said that.
I don't know. Georgia. I was asking you about Georgia. I should have been asking you about blunts. How you experienced what happened in Georgia.
I gave money to a state 2,000 miles away because I realized how important it was. I'm not a big fan of Charles Schumer, but I know the importance that the Senate has in confirming judges. And I understand that there were over 198 judges that were appointed to the federal bench by Donald Trump, and not one of them was African American. 198 judges that were appointed, and not one was African American. So that was always foremost in my mind in terms of the impact that the races in Georgia would have on America. Quite frankly, I didn't think Reverend Warnock was going to win. I told people, remember the Tom Bradley effect, 1984, Tom Bradley, a black mayor from LA, was running for governor of California. He was 8 points up on election morning. Every black lawyer in LA went to the Biltmore Hotel to party that night, and Tom Bradley lost. Andrew Gillum, the same thing in Florida. I told my boys in Florida, remember the Tom Bradley effect, because I thought Andrew Gillum wasn't gonna go down pleasantly either. There were other issues, but still.
Well, no, but those issues, hold on a second. Before you head down this path, for the people who do not know, like, that was a disaster. What's happened in the state of Florida since then in terms of DeSantis or DeathSantis, as they're calling him, where Florida is the biggest mess in the country, at least in part because we don't have Gillum. But Jesus, the quote-unquote crime on Gillum's resume that includes a public outing of him with in Miami Beach here with a gay escort and he barely lost. So those details on Gillum are not irrelevant, Carl. Like, but you're claiming dirty pool there.
No, but I didn't think he was going to win anyway because of racism.
He was so close. He was so very close to winning. Anyways, continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, Dan, I have fundamental race-based thoughts to my core because I have lived in America and have seen America at its worst. So I think through color-based glasses. I hate to say it, but it's truth. I think as a black person in America, and I'm not always hopeful because of the experience of the black people in this country historically, but I am hopeful because Georgia turned blue. And I did not think I would see that in my lifetime. Not only that they could elect a black man, but a young Jewish kid as well.
Carl, can you explain just how important the work of Stacey Abrams and even the players on the Atlanta Dream? Explain how important their work was during this election.
That there were, Roy, that's a fabulous question, man, because there were more people who voted in the runoff, ultimately, than who voted in November for president. And the other irony is there were three races in Georgia on Tuesday. Both Democratic senators won, but there was a Republican state officer who also won. So that meant this vote in Georgia was a direct reflection on Trump and the Republicans and the direction of the country, because it was created to be ground zero for the soul of America. So the, as I say, it was a big blunt evening Tuesday night, because celebrations were in order, and that I think helped to rile the Trumpians that next morning, giving them that enthusiasm to go and ransack the Capitol building.
Carl, I may be over-explaining this, so please, I just would like you to help the audience a little bit who might not be familiar with you and what we do here and how we use you and how it is that you're the show's attorney. So you may have thought that this was obvious enough, but I want to just make sure that I wasn't misunderstanding you. One of the reasons you're believing that the Georgia election was so important and you're hopeful and you're sending money to Georgia is because you saw from inside the system and with these federal appointments, the maneuvering being done so that a ton of white judges with power who in some way are an extension of what you saw yesterday at the state capitol are further criminalizing black bodies in a system that's already corrupt and has black bodies incarcerated as a way, as a means of profit, as a war on drugs. So just to be clear, can you articulate all of that again so that the audience understands, maybe a new sports audience that isn't following the history of this or your legacy in civil rights movements, if you can explain or make your way through all of that for the audience, I'd appreciate it.
Okay, but let me caution you, Dan. I am not one of these black people that do woe is me. I love being black, and I would not have it any other way. And black people have been treated unfairly in the criminal and civil justice systems from the beginning of time. However, I am still an active believer and participant in the American system of justice. And when you have 198 judges who are each given lifetime appointments, and there is not a reflection of the diversity of our nation, that to me, as an advocate for civil rights, is an abomination. So what can I do on the left coast, where we have progressive politicians, where we have progressive senators, where we have a generally progressive congressional force? What can I do to impact my world, to make my world safer and better from my perspective? And I thought the best thing that I could do would be to support the role of this president, because I am hopeful that he will use more humanity and less stridentness when he makes appointments, because I trust his integrity more than the current occupant in the office. So it's a fight for me, for the very soul of this nation, and one that no one should ignore.
I'm curious on the symbolism of this, Carl, because I'm guessing it was in no way lost on you, but your hopefulness that there will be an actual change here, even as we're talking about chickens coming home to roost and the black community looking at what is here in front of them and saying, well, yeah, this is the America that I've always known. This isn't dealing with my problems. This is to keep me in my problems. Given that all of that is so, given that the system has worked against black people and is almost designed in the times that we've talked to you to punish black people, as, you know, the original police force was to ensnare slaves or enforce slavery, and that's how police came to be. And so what you're seeing yesterday is police officers as allies to white people who are storming freedom, and black people are looking at this and being like, what the hell is this? How is this being allowed to go on in this country where I still remain hopeful, even though I haven't been given any reparations, and even though this country has not paid for its original sin, which is to enslave me for profit? So given all of that, never mind big blunt jokes, where were you on the symbolism when it's the specifics of Detroit and Atlanta ending this presidency? Those two of the blackest cities in America, and as Roy mentioned, Stacey Abrams, two of the blackest cities in America, say the symbolism of, no, this is over now, and we're the ones who are going to end it. We, the people who have been enslaved by this country since it was founded.
Is this a great country or what? We talk about it was the Black Belt of Georgia, that line going basically through the center of that state. And I've never lived in Atlanta. My son went to Morehouse College there. But we've always been told as Black people that when you are 5 minutes outside of Atlanta, you're back in the South. So for that, for the efforts, the clear efforts of Stacey Abrams to register hundreds and thousands of new voters, for the spectacular thoughts of registering over 100,000 people who turned 18 between November 3rd and January the 5th, she deserves all of the credit in the world. But also, I like to give credit to Black people who chose to come out this time. If 30,000 African Americans in Milwaukee and Detroit and Pennsylvania had shown up in 2016, Donald Trump would not have been president. 40,000 people in Milwaukee and Detroit and Pennsylvania and Philadelphia made a difference in that election. So I am very full of joy that much of America has to give credit where credit is due this time, because none of the pundits expected both of the candidates to win in Georgia, me included. And there cannot be any mistake that the activism of the African-American voter in Georgia is the salve that will hopefully make a change, a dramatic change. And Dan, it's not gonna change on January the 20th. Man, you know what I always say. Change moves at the speed of an ocean liner, not a speedboat. I wish it were not so, but regrettably, change takes time. And that is why I enjoy talking to your listeners. I was a young kid, impatient as well at one point in my life. I sound like an old fuddy-duddy that I would criticize when I was a young political activist, man. I become my daddy. It's amazing how that happened that way. But the enduring message that I want to leave your listeners is a brighter day is coming. Joe Biden is not some socialist hack. I mean, he's as middle of the road, man, as you could be. And most of America is as middle of the road. Raphael Warnock is a reverend. And for Loeffler to attack the Black church by suggesting he was a socialist is certainly something that energized those Bible Belt Black folks in Georgia to say enough is enough. You can't castigate Raphael Warnock as being a socialist when he sits at the pulpit where Martin Luther King used to preach.
Kyle, Doug Jones was the other option for potentially being attorney general. Would that have been your pick? And if President-elect Biden goes into office and creates a civil rights committee, who would you want to be on that committee?
One, Roy, I perhaps liked Sally Yates more of the three picks that were being considered. I'm not a big fan of Alabamans, even former AG senators were Democrats. And the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That's art of war. So if Trump didn't like Sally Yates, that says something good to me about Sally Yates.
Wow, so that's where we are, Carl. That's where Black people are. You just have to settle for totally moderate Joe Biden now being a rebel anarchist on behalf of the radical left, And this is what we, this is you, this is what makes you hopeful, Carl, that you have to settle for just some the most minor of the dilutions on the general evil that keeps your people enslaved.
Every journey, Dan, begins with one step. You're not going to discourage me, man. Every journey begins with one step. My choices were Joe Biden or Donald Trump. Given that predicate, yeah, I'm gonna take Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe will clean this stuff up for 4 years and step aside. He's not gonna run 4 years from now, but he's gonna just clean this stuff up, get things back to some sense of normalcy, get people holding each other's hands instead of fighting each other all the time, hopefully, and then give it up.
And the proof is in the pudding that the approach, the more moderate approach, I know that there are a lot of progressives out there hoping for a more progressive message, but Joe Biden got more votes than any other candidate in history.
Dan, you Miami folks like to talk about all the young guys, Tyler Hero and all that. It's the old heads that win the ring. Look at the Lakers. You guys,
here we go.
Duncan
here
and Tyler
go.
Hero, give
oh,
me a break. It's
here
the old heads that win the ring.
Go.
Because
you're
you gotta come back and make it
if
happen.
If Goran Dragic had been right, you would have had hell to pay.
Yeah, that's what Mike has been telling me.
You
I've heard that bullshit for the last 2 months.
Oh, you took LeBron and Anthony Davis. You took them and put them together, and now you're the big swinging dick of Los Angeles. Get out of here, Dragic.
Hey. And Tampa Bay ain't shit either. How about that? I said it too. How about that?
Carl, you'd trade Hero for Harden, right?
Just to be clear, though, not tainting the jury
Hero
pool.
Hero for Harden.
But Harden had no idea what happened yesterday. I don't think we can understate that. He was asked what his reaction was, and he was like, what are you talking about?
Right. Harden is not going to work with Pat Riley's culture. He's not going to work.
Tell him, Carl. Tell him, Carl.
That is really what brings us all together, isn't it?
Carl, take the ball and dribble it out. He's not going to do that. That is not going to work.
Unified
kick his ass. I said it.
Of Heat culture. Unified.
Jimmy's going to kick his ass.
Yeah.
That ain't happening. Jimmy kicked Embiid's ass.
Yep.
Jimmy kicked Simmons' ass.
He's going to keep kicking their asses.
Cat's ass.
Except for Carl.
Jimmy's going to kick his ass. And I'm not a big Jimmy fan. He's going to kick his ass. It's his team now. He's going to kick his ass.
I fucking love you, man.
Well, of course Jimmy's going to kick his ass. How are you not a Jimmy Butler guy? How can Carl Douglas, civil rights activist across the decades?
He can't shoot. He can't shoot, man.
But he's going to kick everybody's ass. He's
asking me. I'm telling you the reason. Honestly, I'm rational. I'm a Laker fan.
But the culture is they're going to kick everybody's ass. Like, that's the culture. You were just believing in it, and now you're like, nah,
bruh,
give me LeBron.
You need size. Don't give it. We talk about sport. You need some size. We got stronger in L.A., baby. All the stars are realigned, America.
Well, okay. Actually, before we get out of here.
You can look to Washington and there's anarchy, but all is safe in the basketball world because it's all come back to L.A.
Carl,
I'm looking at Washington.
Carl, we got to get out of here.
Bradley Beal.
We got to get out of here.
Bomb.
I put a jacket on.
Give me what you make of what LeBron did specifically, because look, nobody could be Muhammad Ali in the modern age, Carl. It's not possible. The fight that he was fighting was a different kind of fight. But LeBron James absolutely used the power in a way that was fairly amazing in 2020 to activate the vote and make real social change, Carl. Like, as happy as you are to have him as a champion in your city, a champion for your people must be something that you're watching with, like, pride that goes back to Ali and Bill Russell and Jim Brown and the civil rights fight of the 60s.
I love him, and I liked him before he came to L.A. I love him. You don't hear shit about him chasing women, although I'm sure he does. You don't hear anything bad about him here. He is such a power who understands the value of his platform and uses it for good. And please get him to call me, please. I went to school with Michelle Roberts and she can't even work out a meeting with me and him in LA. I just want to meet him. I'm the man in L.A. He ought to know me. So please, Dan, use your influence.
A little bit of Stugatz and everybody.
Just talk about life
Jesus
in LA.
Christ. A
he
little.
All right. Fantastic.
Get out of here, Carl. I just asked you about his civil rights work, that's and you're it. Like, can yeah. I meet him? Right. Can you set up a
as
meeting?
As if we have the power
come
to
on,
make that
Carl.
Happen.
Come on, Carl. Come on.
Stugatz, you can do that shit, Stugatz. You talk all that mess.
Carl,
you, Stugatz, ought to do that and set it up.
Carl, get out of here.
Carl Pat, set it up.
Carl, get out of here. You're taking the space and you're being too Stugatzian around here. We'll talk to you later.
You're awesome.
Next time, guys. Next time, please. I love you guys. Next time. I miss you guys. Next time, please bring me back.
I think you'll find this podcast, Carl.
Yeah. Love you guys.
We love you, Carl. And you're right. Jimmy Butler can't shoot.
Come on, he can't shoot.
It's the greatest NBA Finals performance ever.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.